Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. Lisa Lanier is our official attorney of this program, has been for years. A pleasure to have her on every Friday. She goes inside several legal cases and solves them for us. LanierLawGroup.com is the website. And a couple of things to talk about. This is the first time Lisa's ever responded like this. Yesterday, I told her, here are stories we're going to go over. And we're going to start with a question about the Menendez brothers and this push to get them out of prison after 35 years. And Lisa said, and I'm quoting now, I'm so into this Menendez brothers case, I had a sex dream about Lyle. Lisa.
I did. I don't know what's wrong with me. No,
I know the feeling.
Lisa, was it murder trial Lyle or current day prison inmate Lyle?
Young Lyle, old Lyle.
It was young Lyle. No, yeah, not super young, because that would be even more weird. But no, you know what it was? I think it's a perfectly natural trigger for this sort of thing. It was after the shower scene, which is weird, you know, because it was like incestuous and, you know, whatever. But you know, full frontal nudity, and the dude is hung like a porn star. So I mean, I have to tell you,
I want to say, let me say, okay.
I need a timeout.
Chris Dibbs calling.
I don't know what we're talking about. Let me explain this.
A couple of things. They do show Lyle full frontal. Is it Lyle they show full frontal?
I thought it was Eric.
Maybe it's Eric.
It might have been Eric. Yeah. It might have been Eric, but Lyle's the one I had the dream about.
It's Eric. It's Eric.
I think you're right. It is Eric. Eric.
Why? Okay. Well, first of all, they show Lyle and Eric in the shower together as if they had an incestuous relationship. The mom walks in on that.
Right.
They claim, by the way, that's not true. And it was like when they were like 20 and 18. Then in prison now, it's intimated that Eric did share sexual favors with other inmates. And at one point, he's standing in the shower and turns, and I'll quote Lisa Lanier, he's hung like a porn star.
By the way,
is that his arm? It is not.
No.
No.
By the way, he's claiming that's all him.
Okay. Oh, really?
Many people said, prosthetic. Yeah. And he says, that's me.
The actor.
That's me. That's right. That's
no.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
He says, no prosthetic, all me.
Yeah. Wow. Let's face it. That's impressive. I mean,
we're all going to have a sex dream about him if we watch. I'm telling you. It's like, it's something.
Yeah, but that was.
It's something.
Yeah. Well, I hear.
Is this something you and Biggie would like to confess, Kelly?
Well, when I saw it, I was like, that can't be him. I mean, that is
everybody thought it was a prosthetic, but he's gone on record saying, nope, that's me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, these guys are incredible.
Well, I said, that's it. Oh, that's nothing. Look at me.
Is that all you got? Is that all you got? No, I hear that young women are just dying to now meet these actors who play Lyle and Eric.
I mean, the same reaction to the actual brothers.
Yeah, just like
in the 90s.
I mean, the brothers have been married in prison. You know, one of them's been married twice in prison. And still Biggie says he's given up on love, Lisa.
He's through.
Our own Biggie, who's not behind bars and has not murdered anybody, is still looking for love and has given up. Whereas Lyle and Eric, they've got their pick of folks. I'm sure as soon as they get out of prison, they'll get divorced and marry some other young person. You know, that's
how. You know, the solution, Biggie. You know, if you end up like, you know, going to jail for murder, then you suddenly become a really hot ticket. I don't know if you've noticed that, but there's this whole group of women out there that and men who really, you know, have a fetish for people who are like serving life behind bars or even death row.
Oh yeah, I mean these guys. Well, when they were
part of it is because they're unattainable.
You think that's it?
Yeah. Part of it.
They're beating women off with a stick. I know.
Well, yeah. And Lyle and Eric. I mean, they were young, good-looking guys when they committed this horrible crime, and here they go. So, do you think that they? Let me say this. Here's how I feel about it. Even if they were, and I do believe they probably were abused. I know they were mentally and verbally, and probably physically. I still think they did not have to resort to killing their parents in cold blood. And
that was over the line?
I think that was over the line. I think that's over the line. And so I still think, I think the original verdict should be upheld and they should stay in prison for life. Plus, the way they reacted after the shootings in the late 80s, they concocted a story about the mafia doing it. They went out and spent their parents' money like it was just, you know, a free holiday. And I don't think they would have ever gotten caught if Eric hadn't told his therapist. So tell us, Lisa, what are the odds there that they do get out of prison?
I think the odds are good that they're going to get out of prison.
I do too. I do too.
Because, so there's a huge amount of support for them in Los Angeles. And there really always has been, but it's bigger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Menendez family, so Jose and Kitty's brothers and sisters and their offspring who are, you know, cousins and whatever, they're all rallying behind these guys, and they're saying, look, that this, you know, the dad truly was a monster. He truly did sexually abuse these boys, and not just that, but just tormented them, controlled them beyond belief, and was just, I mean, did horrible, horrible things to them, aside from the sex abuse, which was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was, you know, the first trial ended in a hung jury, and the second trial, the judge was really, really restrictive and didn't really allow them to put on evidence of the sexual abuse, claiming that, you know, the prosecution made strong arguments that it was made up.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot, they were very restricted. So now, you know, they have filed a writ of habeas or a petition for habeas corpus, and new evidence is being reviewed, one of which is a letter that a 13-year-old Eric Menendez, way before these murders, wrote to his cousin detailing the sexual abuse. That's been found in the now dead cousin's effects.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a cousin who was, they tried to have him testify. He testified in the first trial, wasn't allowed to testify in the second trial. And then the other piece of evidence is that a member of the Menudo band that was managed by Jose Menendez has come forward and said that he was drugged and raped by Jose Menendez.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the DA saying, look, that, you know, back then we didn't believe these kids, that they were abused. Now we have evidence that we do believe them. And so what I think is going to happen is in November, there is a hearing. And I believe that the DA will say that they should be released for time served, which is 35 years.
Yeah. So all that being said, let's say they had believed them back then or it happened today. Still, they committed murder. I mean, that's
right.
They planned the murder and they did lie about the murder. And also their father sexually abused them. All I read is they got rid of their mother because they didn't want a witness hanging around. You know, they came up with, at least in the show, oh, she could never live with the guilt, and so we had to put her out of her misery. I mean, she really was somewhat more innocent in the whole thing, although the argument on the other side is she allowed it to go on. She knew about it and allowed it to go on.
She knew about it. Yeah. The family said in one of these press conferences that the whole family, down all the way out to cousins, knew that if even into their later years, that if Jose Menendez was in one of the boys' rooms, that you were not allowed to walk down that hallway.
Mm.
I mean, because you know, that was his rule, and that's what he was doing to him down
there. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's terrible. So you're right. It doesn't, you know, it's not necessarily a justification for murder, but it's a mitigating factor that would be considered in a trial normally. Normally you would say, you know, like there's all sorts of levels, especially then in California, of sort of murder that is justified in some way. And it could be a lesser degree where it's like, okay, you know, you were, because they said they were in fear of their lives because things that were kind of coming to a boiling point with the parents, and the dad had started like saying he was going to go get his gun and stuff. And so the boys were in fear, they say, of imminent harm, which does create a self-defense, you know, possibility. But they also had, it should just be a mitigating factor in their sentencing.
Right.
And he's saying, look, they've served 35 years. A lot of people would have served less for sort of a justified, you know, sort of a domestic abuse, even homicide.
Yeah. What about the argument that, I mean, it is sort of intimated in the show that they would never have brought up the sexual abuse if their lawyer hadn't said, hey, we got to come up with something. What can you guys come up with? And Lyle Menendez spoke to someone in prison and said, watch me you know, fabricate these tears. I'm really good at crying. That's why he wasn't even allowed to testify in the second trial, because that would have been used in cross-examination. Do you think, you know, you still think that they would have had that testimony go in, or they would have had that as a mitigating factor?
Yeah, I think that that they were abused. I think that they, it's weird, you know, how they didn't want to talk about it, and they had never really talked about it. Because they still idol. I mean, this is crazy. A lot of times when someone is really controlled by a powerful figure like this, especially a child who's abused, they wanted his approval, you know, right down to the very end. I mean, and they didn't want to bring him shame, and they didn't want to ever say anything, you know, to go against him or harm his reputation. And I mean, it's a weird sort of a love-hate kind of a relationship.
We've seen that dynamic play out a lot. If you work in this building, you see it daily.
Yeah, it's Biggie and myself, of course.
Yeah,
let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. If Biggie ever kills me, he better not get out of prison.
But no one walks in this room when the two of you are in it.
That's right.
That's true.
If we're in this room alone,
that door's shut.
Nobody walks down this hall. That's right. The abuse on Biggie. Let me tell you something.
Mental, verbal.
All the above.
Not physical.
Lisa,
well,
let me tell you this.
Let me take that back.
If he kills me, you better not represent him.
I can tell you that right now. Yeah, that better not happen.
So, Lisa, given your...
if he does, he's going to be very popular with the ladies.
Well, of course he will. That's right.
If these things, factors do kind of play out the way you see this, Lisa, what are the chances the Menendez brothers or the Menudos... Mm. End up at CrimeCon 25 in Denver.
Oh, God, we'll be there. Oh, my wife will
I'm
be there.
There. Oh, I'm yeah. there. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She'll be there, too. Can they, if they get out, can they write a book and make some money, even though, is that considered profiting from their crime?
Yeah, you know, they're not going to be exonerated from the crime. And I think California has a slayer statute that does not permit them to directly, you know, be compensated for the crime and details of the crime. So, but that is being challenged, and I don't remember what the outcome of that was. If that was successful on constitutional grounds, but yeah, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to profit from it.
Yeah, well, at the very least, they'll do the speaking tour, they'll go to CrimeCon and those kinds of things. Really, really interesting case. So much so it drove Lisa Lanier to a sex dream.
I'm ashamed. I'm really ashamed. You know, it's really
I'm ashamed
bad.
Too.
I mean,
I'm ashamed for so many reasons.
Yeah.
But it's not one of the actual Menendezes, right? It's an actor?
It's an actor that drove you to it. Well, I mean, listen, these guys are played by two of the best looking guys. You can't even imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And they show them constantly shirtless and naked.
Have the actors made comments about how they view these the real people?
So the guy that played Eric, I believe, has met
the actual
Menendez brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they support them in getting them out.
I bet they do. They're unknown, the actors. Now, the father is played by Javier Bardem, and he does a nice job, too.
Oh, he's a good
actor. And the mom is well-known. Who's the mom? She's well-known.
She's
been in so many.
She's been in
like,
Big Love and everything else.
Yes. Yeah,
she's in Shattered Glass. She's she's blonde.
Not Laura Dern.
No. But anyway, she was young then. But she's she's got kind of a funny name.
Oh, Chloe
Savigny.
Yeah.
Chloe Savigny.
Oh,
yeah.
She's
that's it. She's the mom. In this case, I guess I would be Jose and Kristen would be Kitty and Biggie would be the kids.
I mean, weight wise, I could represent both brothers.
You're both brothers. Which weighs more, both brothers or Biggie?
Push.
I don't know. I'm not sure about this.
And I've had thoughts of shooting both.
That's right. Yeah, Chris Dent would get it too to put him out of his misery because he had to witness this.
What'd I do?
Nothing.
You just witnessed my abuse of him.
You did nothing, Mom.
You did nothing.
Nothing.
You just stood by
drink, Mom.
And let it happen.
You stood by and let it happen while I abused him in here.